All right, Titus chapter 2. Let's just read verses 9 and 10. We want to do at least this. I don't know if we go any more along here or not. I just wanted to hit these areas where he's setting things in order and teaching each group of people, aged men, aged women, young men, young women, how to behave and what their place is and how to conduct their lives. One more here that we want to deal with, and it's servants. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but shewing all good fidelity. That's faithfulness, trustworthiness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. All right, now see, he's teaching them these things and exhorting them about these things, that they would be good testimony for God, that they'd be good ambassadors for Christ, that when they get an opportunity to talk to somebody about God, it would mean something and carry some weight. You know, just like Seth telling in Sunday school, I believe it was this morning, about the woman down here that works at a place of Poplar Bluffs, the pastor's wife, but she's got a filthy mouth and profane, and you know, the workers around her. Now, is she going to talk to him about the Lord? Is her husband going to talk to him about the Lord? Is anybody going to talk to him about the Lord with somebody like that around? No. Terrible. Is this terrible that there's people like that around? But there always has been, and there always will be. You know, we can't help that. We can't stop that. We can't keep people from being that way. We can't help it that there are people that way. You know, they're having their beer and Bible study down at Bread and Butter Restaurant at Poplar Bluff now, starting Tuesday night, the 7th of January, whatever it is, next week, not this week, but next week. Going to have beer and Bible. If you love Jesus and you like to have a cold beer once in a while, you need to join them. That's what they say. They're going to study the Bible while they drink beer. And that is an associate pastor at the United Methodist Church at Poplar Bluff that's leading that out.
Yep, the next generation pastor.
Yeah. Yes, sir. He's a young guy. Comments on Facebook. He was deleting anybody that said anything against it. You know, there were some negatives on her, but people said the wrong thing, he'd delete them. I looked down the list there, and this woman said, he deleted my comments, and I'm his mother.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you think you're going to tell him anything?
No, you're not.
What kind of witness is that going to be to everybody else when they come in the restaurant and see these bunch of Christians over there with their Bibles drinking their cold beers? You know, I mean, it's insanity. It is absolute insane wickedness. And we can't help that. You know, we can't stop that from happening. But we can be a good example. And we can be the real deal. And we can live in a way that it does affect people and does impress them with the truth of God, not us. You know, when we stop this stuff of trying to impress people with our knowledge and with our power and our, you know, zeal or whatever, knowledge of the Bible, we stop all that and just live right before them. And that's what this is about. Servants. You know, each one of these is about that. Aged men should be sober-minded in all of the things we talked about. The aged women should be sober-minded. And like all the things we talk about, and teach the younger women, and all of the things we've talked about, each kind of person. We've got all of those here. We've got aged men. We've got young men. We've got aged women. We've got young women here. Everybody here is a servant in some way. Some way we're a servant. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to avoid. It's a position in life that we all experience. We're all servants of others in some respect at all times in our lives. But see, what the world does is they want to make all the women believe that it's demeaning to cook for their husband, or to do the laundry, or to do anything around the house. They try to teach everybody that it's demeaning to do anything for somebody else. And it's the absolute foundation of peace and fellowship among people. How can you be a good neighbor if you won't never do a thing for your neighbor? How you call that a good neighbor? Everything good is about us doing something for somebody else. We are as sure to be in this position as we are to be young and old. I mean, he's been talking about the young and the old. Now this. And we're as sure to be in that position as of a servant as we are to be young in our life and to be old in our life. You're going to be a servant.
That's right.
You're going to be young, you're going to be old, and you're going to be a servant. And so he's telling us how a servant should act. It's another one of those things that has to do with order. Servant and master are two terms that simply set things in order between people. You know, who's in charge here? Who's the boss? Who's the servant? People get real confused about that these days. You know that?
It's true.
The nature of life requires that there be servants. We serve one another. That's the way it is in the human race. Life requires that there be servants. Somebody's got to do the stuff that has to be done. Or it don't get done, and life cannot go on. You know, everybody's got a job to do. Truck drivers, merchants, you know, everybody does something. And every bit of it is to serve others in some way. So it's to make money. I work for myself. I ain't nobody's servant. Yes, you are. Yes, you are too. You're doing what you're doing, and it's something that's going to benefit other people, or you wouldn't be doing it because they ain't going to pay you for doing something that ain't going to benefit. I got a deal the other day, and I'll just throw this in there, but just give you something to think about. It was just a list of things he said I was thinking. And one of the things he said he was thinking about was, he said, if women get less pay for the same work, why do companies hire men and pay them more for the same work? Y'all get that? Y'all listening? Would you do that? If you could hire somebody for less and get it done, same work, same quality, same everything, why wouldn't you hire the lesser paid one instead of the higher paid one? Doesn't work that way. A lot of things don't make sense in our world. The nature of life requires that there be servants. A servant is, this is what it is, a person that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him, or who is employed by another for such offices or for other labor and is subject to his command. So, the Bible language is servant and master. The modern language is employee and employer. Same thing. Same exact thing. If you work for somebody, if you work for some company, if you work for some business, and they pay you to work for them, you are a servant to them. You are their servant. They're buying your time. They're buying your labor. They're paying you to take care of something for them so they don't have to do it. Now, you got a choice. You're not a servant is not a slave. You don't have to work there. If you don't like it and you don't want to do it, you can walk your little self out and go somewhere and find something you like to do. There's no chains. There's nobody holding you there. And you have no rights to demand anything. Amen. To be a servant is not demeaning or humiliating. But in God's order, it's really actually esteemed highly and regarded as an exalted position. Do y'all realize this? Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, Jesus said, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Wow. You see, God looks at things different than man does. The things which men highly esteem are a lot of times abomination in the sight of God. The Bible says that. And what man puts first, God puts last a lot of times. And a lot of times what men put last, God puts first. And this is one of them right there. If you want to be chief, let him be a servant. He also said in Matthew 23, verse 11, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." So I don't think you ought to be ashamed of being a servant.
Right.
And I don't think it's something that ought to be humiliating or demeaning to you because you work for somebody else.
Right.
Or you voluntarily help somebody else. To serve is not something to be ashamed of. He said in Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." That means serve. Minister means servant. To minister means to serve someone else. And Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." So the Son of God came to this earth to be a servant, to serve, not to be served. Get that? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God incarnate, come to this earth in a man's body, and He is a servant. So I don't think we ought to be ashamed of it. I don't think we ought to look down on it. I don't think we ought to look at others who are servants and think, and hold our nose up in the air like we're above them. God didn't put us above them. He put them above us. The servant is the chief among you. When it's all said and done, when God judges this and the final word's given, guess who's going to be on top? Guess who's going to be the most rewarded? Those who served, like Jesus did. And weren't ashamed of it, and didn't resist it, and didn't demand to be served. The pride and selfishness of man is what causes him to despise being a servant. Ain't no question about it. And to covet a position of master, it ain't nothing but pride and selfishness in a person that would make him be that way. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Well, it would. The thing is, naturally, that means that it's more blessed to serve, because that's giving, than to receive, than to be served. Unless you're too proud, unless you're selfish and you want to be waited on and served. There's just something that gives pleasure, joy, a good feeling to a heart that's right, to do something for somebody else. To take the load off of somebody else a little bit does more for you than having somebody take the load off of you. It really does. It's more blessed to serve than to be served. Just as in all other matters that have to do with God's order, men and women rebel at this one also. They sure do. Even children rebel at this. Many people equate being a servant to being a slave, and they're not the same. Servants' subjection to a master is voluntary, and a slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. Did you get that? Slave ain't got a choice. Servant does have a choice. A slave serves, but he has to. And you know, even if you are a slave, you can serve with joy. You can count yourself a servant in God's order and have joy in doing it and be blessed. You know, in the days of slavery, in this country, there were some of them that did that. They loved their master. And even back in the Old Testament, that was the law God gave, you know. When it wasn't an endless, forever bondage that they were in. It was for 7 years or until the year of Jubilee, and they were free. And when it came time for him to be freed, if he said, "I love my master and I don't want to go," they'd bore his whole hole through his ear, you know. And he was his servant forever. Well, not a slave, a servant.
Right.
So, since being a servant is a certain part of life for all of us, God has some instructions for how we're to conduct ourselves in this office. So we're going to be a servant, so this is how it is. He said, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters." Well, how hard is that to understand? Do what they tell you. Don't argue with them. Not answering again.
Right.
Do what they tell you. If you talk to anybody who's got any kind of business, who has anybody working for them in any kind of business there is, ask them what their biggest problem is. Well, getting people to work, getting people to show up, but getting people that'll just do what you tell them. It's gone from this generation. They don't know how to do it. I mean, you young people here, if you want to succeed in life in this world, it's real simple. Show respect and do what you're told. If you get a job, just do what they tell you.
Yes.
They're not stupid, and you're the smart one. And God didn't send you there to straighten them out and run their business and show them how it's done.
That's right.
You just go in there, and if they say, "Get that mop and clean the floor," get the mop and clean the floor. Don't say, "It don't look dirty to me."
Yes.
Or, "I'll do it tomorrow." Or, "I'll do it when I get done with this." Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You want to be a testimony for God? You want to ever be able to have any word to say to Him that'll carry any weight about anything? You better listen to what God says. Be obedient to their own masters. Listen to what they tell you and do what they say. And do it the way they said to do it. Don't say, "Well, I've got my own way of doing it." You know, "I don't want to do it that way." Or, "That way is stupid." That's what they're hearing out there now. From young people that don't know how to find their way home by themselves. Respect their authority and their right to tell you what they want you to do. Why is it so hard for people to swallow this nowadays? And why is it so hard to understand that when you go and you punch that clock, you just sold yourself for the next 8 hours or whatever your shift is to them. You're to do what they say. You're not on your own time. You're on their time. Is that right? That is absolutely right. So you ought to respect their authority. And I hear so much of it from, you know, around, and I know how it is. And people, we live in a time when people think that every business and every job is just there for your benefit. You know, all these big companies and corporations, they ought to give you what they make because you work for them. You ought to get a cut. You ought to get a fair share. Well, you know, Jesus told the story about the man who hired those people to work in his vineyard for a penny a day. Some of them started early and worked all day. And there were some that come in at 11 o'clock. And when it was over at midnight, he paid them all the same. And the ones that started early said, "That ain't fair." He said, "I didn't do you wrong. You came to work for me and agreed for a penny a day. Why are you mad because I was good to these other people? Why does that chafe you?" Shouldn't. Nope, shouldn't do that. There's more to that story, but it fits here too. Respect their right to expect of you what they're paying you for. They're not paying you to take smoke breaks. They're not paying you to sit on the toilet.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you need to do that on your own time. They got a right to expect it of you. They're paying you for your time. If they bought an hour from you for $10 and you waste 15, 20 minutes of it smoking outside, hiding in the bathroom, you're a thief and a cheater.
Yes.
That's what you are. You might as well steal something from him because that's what you're doing. Do not try to change what they want done with your own ideas. Don't be telling them how to do their run their business. Don't tell them how to run their business. You do what they tell you. Be obedient to your own masters. And it says, and to please them well in all things. All right, now what pleases the people you work for? Does it please them if you show up 10 minutes late every day? Does it please them if you're, you know, if you always arguing with them? Does it please them if you're the troublemaker among the other workers? No. In all things, please them well. Obedience means more than simply complying with certain commands. And we've talked about this. I've talked about this with children and their parents before. Obedience is not jump, how high, you know.
Right.
Roll over, play dead, shake hands. That ain't obedience.
Right.
Obedience is pleasing your parent, doing what is pleasing in their sight. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. You don't have to be told and ordered and threatened and punished and chastened and all of that. That's not obedience. Obedience is doing what you know they want you to do. Not doing the things that you know would not please them. You're not in obedience to your parents unless you're that way. You're not in obedience to your master, your employer, unless you're that way. You want to try to please them. So, oh, I've worked for people that you can't even please. Well, I know. There's people like that out there. Does that mean you ought to just give up and say, I don't care what he thinks. I'll just do what I want. You think that's the way to go? No. No, no, no. Obedience means to do what is pleasing to him. We're to strive to please those we work for, not just do what we have to do or what we know we're required to do. You know, Jesus said, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Luke 17:10. You're an unprofitable servant if you just do what you're told to do. You know, I've been on jobs with people. And, you know, they'd you tell them to do something. Well, what do you want me to do? Well, go pick up that board. And they go pick up the board and come back and lay the board down. Now what do you want me to do? You know, I mean, you got to tell them every move to make. That's an unprofitable servant. It takes more time to be telling them what to do. Then it'd be better if I just wasn't even there. If I got to tell them what to do and show them what to do, everything, then they might as well not even be there. Just let me do it myself. No, there's a profitable servant steps up and looks at things and he's does it before you ask. You know, a carpenter's helper. He ain't worth a dime if he ain't watching and paying attention to what's going on and getting you a board before you need it. Moving things when you're fixing to need the space. If there ain't somebody there, and it's that way in any kind of work. You know, you need people that'll work with you. Not somebody you have to just lead around like a horse and thrash him every time you want him to move. You know, why didn't your daddy try to teach you to watch and see what needs to be done so that you can be there and do it without him having to worry about it? And that just takes the load off and that keeps things moving smooth. And Well, that's what the Bible's saying here. That's what the Bible's saying here. If you just do what you're told to do and you won't do nothing else, you ain't worth heaven. You're an unprofitable servant. Well, they're hard to find in these days, let me tell you, also. not answering again. Don't talk back and argue or try to reason with him about what he has, what he's told you to do. Don't argue. Don't contradict him or dispute with him about it. And, you know, this is most unpleasing to a boss or anyone that you're a servant to when you argue with them. Yes. It's not good to argue with your parents. You know, used to, and I know y'all get tired of hearing all this, but you argue with your parents, you get smacked in the mouth. It's the way it used to be. You learn real quick not to argue with your parents. That was back when the world was a different place. Nobody would do that now because that's cruel and unusual punishment, and it ain't fair, and the poor little darling just don't know no better. And they grow up to be devils and despicable, disdainful people that are worthless to society. You want to raise up a child to be worth something and to be a blessing and a benefit to other people and to have an eternity that's promising, you better teach them these things. It's basic to life to be submissive and to be willing to serve other people. It's a basic thing to morality. If serving other people, doing anything for them at all, is abominable to you, then you ain't going to have any respect or regard for other people, and that's basic to moral law. You'll use them like you would like a piece of junk. You won't care for them. You won't think nothing of them. You won't esteem them as anything if you're not willing to serve. If you ain't willing to give. People don't even open the door for anybody anymore. They won't even consider anybody when they're in traffic out on the road. Instead, they won't even look around them to consider other people and how they're being a hindrance and a problem. They don't even worry about that. The world is theirs. If you don't like it, lump it. That's the attitude of everybody. Ain't nobody, you know, just driving on the road and in these big cities, how different would it be if everybody just considered everybody else? And everybody just worked together instead of trying to beat one another out and best everybody else. That comes from not having a servant's heart. You know, I remember Steve Tipton told me one time years ago, he said, you know, he went up there to Hiles and everything. And he said, you know, they taught us back then, the big deal in the independent Baptist movement was to train up leaders for the next generation. And he said, we should have trained servants instead of leaders. I said, boy, that's right. That is right. That's what Jesus did. He didn't train leaders. He didn't train these guys to be superhero superstars. That ain't what he did. And that ain't the way they carried out their ministry either. Don't contradict. Don't argue. It says not purloining. Purloining. I'll get it out here in a minute. You know what that means? It means stealing from the boss. Stealing from the company. Purloining means taking it home in your lunchbox. Like Johnny Cash did that Cadillac, you know, one piece at a time. That's purloining. Everybody thought that was funny. But God says not to do that. If you're going to be a servant, you're not to steal from your master. You give him what he's got coming from you, and you don't take what he's already got. Not to take or carry away for yourself things that belong to your employer. If a person feels like they have a right to take things for themselves that don't belong to them, then they're far from a right state of mind about their position. Why do people do that? Let me ask you that. Why do people steal from their employer? You know, carry away tools. You know, Brother Owen told about how he worked for an outfit in New York and he stole all kinds of tools from them. Had a whole toolbox full of tools that he carried off from work. And when he got saved, he said he couldn't rest until he got them back to him. He'd stolen them. And he had to give them back. That's right. That is right. The Bible says not to do it. Why do people do it? Well, because they think they got it coming. I work here and he ain't paying me what I'm worth and I'll just make it up. And they got more than they need and he's getting rich off of me and... Trouble is, you know, if people could see the books and see what he's really making, a lot of times he ain't, let me tell you. That's why all these companies go bankrupt. That's why Detroit's a ghost town now, because of the unions and all they did to demand for the workers everything that the company, and so they're gone. They're just gone. And that's why the cars cost $70,000 and $80,000 now instead of, you know, when I got out of high school, got a brand new car for $4,500. Ain't that right, Dad? $4,900 for a brand new car. Not a little junk car. It was a Oldsmobile. They used to make them. They don't make them anymore. I don't guess. But her brother worked for the Chrysler. He made, after he retired at like 50, 51, 2, 3, something like that, early 50s. And a lot of those years before, he didn't even work. When he was off from work, he made 90% of what he made when he was working. If they laid him off, they had to pay him 90%. Retire, you get almost full pay the rest of your life. Now, how long is business going to stay in business like that? Well, it ain't. Where he worked now, it's just a chain link fence around a big blank space. Ain't nothing there. Yeah. Gone! God expects us to respect the rights and property of others. And if we don't, it's ungodly behavior and thinking. You know, we used to clash, her and me, over this, over the kids. Because, you know, I insisted that what belonged to one, the other didn't have a right to pillage and tear up and abuse. Everybody had their stuff and it belonged to them. And they should be willing to share with it and all of that. But if you don't teach your kids to respect other people's property, they ain't going to be worth killing when they grow up. And so, you know, I'd punish my kids if they got one of the other kids' stuff and destroyed it or just took it without asking and, you know, abusing other people that way. You ain't got no right to do that. And so when you're a servant, you got to look at your employer that way too. I mean, it's their business. You're just working there. And you're there to help him. That's why you're there. You're not there for any other reason, and you got no right to anything else. It's his, not yours. And what he makes is none of our business. You know, if you want to make what he makes, then you go start your business like he's got. You invest and buy everything he's bought. You spend the years at it that he spent at it. Do it. You're free to do that. If you don't like serving him, go do it yourself. Not so easy, is it? You begin to realize he's got a lot more in it than you do. He takes all the risk. He does all the investing. He bears all the responsibility. And supposed to divide it with you? No, that ain't the way it works. That ain't the way the world is. And God don't mean for it to be that way either. But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, a Christian will be very... poor testimony for God if he doesn't obey his employer's orders and try to please him in all that he does. Now, some of the other rebels that work there, they'll call you names. You know, they've got names they call you if the boss likes you. You know, but you shouldn't pay no attention to that. Right. You shouldn't let that hinder you on being a good servant. Amen. And doing what God says that a servant ought to do, and being like God says a servant ought to be. You know, a Christian, what kind of testimony would a Christian have if he stole from his employer? What kind of a testimony would a Christian have if he argues with the orders and disputes and contends with everything, or even some of what he's told to do? Showing all good fidelity, doing what you're told. Don't say, "Oh, I forgot," or "I'm sorry, didn't do it, didn't have time, I forgot," whatever. If you ain't got time, go tell them, I ain't going to be able to get this done. You know, I've worked as hard as I can, blah, blah, blah. And you can argue about it and tell me how bad the employer is and all of that. And it is a mess in the day we're living in because they've got such tiers of authority and nobody's in charge. They've got a bunch of middle bosses that are just there to take the blame and it's just passing the buck, passing the blame from one to the other. This is a whole lot easier if you just work for somebody who's a real person, who you can really talk to. But our days, it's a mess. I know it is. But it doesn't change the very basic rules that God has set down for a servant. It doesn't matter where you work, doesn't matter how it is, this is your guidelines for being pleasing to God, doing what God says, and having a good testimony. Just do what they tell you. And when you're given something to do, do it. Get it done. And don't pay attention to what the rest of them say. All right, one more thing. What should a Christian... we should be a Christian first in all our stations in life. That's the thing. If you're going to be a servant, and you are, then you ought to be a Christian servant.
Sure.
You oughtn't to just lay your religion on the fence post like the guy told a preacher over there in Virginia one time. He said, you ought to just lay your religion on that fence post and deal with that man. They was giving us trouble about the road, you know. That ain't the way you ought to do it. You ain't got much religion. That's all you got is religion if you can just lay it down and do something else. Come back and pick it up. It's God's honor that's at stake here. Our testimony is important because of that fact right there. It doesn't matter what people think of us. The issue is, what are people going to think of God because of us? What I say, what I do, how I live. What are the people around me, family, people I know, people that know me, what are they going to think of God because of me? And you know, the issue is, I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, people, it ain't the terrible sins that people are doing. We focus on the wrong thing. We focus on drinking and cussing and smoking and all immorality and all of that. But you know what is going to send people to hell? Is the fact that I read it this morning in Psalm 28, they regard not the works of God. They don't regard God. What's going to send people to hell is when they resist God. You talk to somebody about God, about their soul, about being saved, and they say, I don't want to hear none of that. I don't talk to me about it. That's why they're going to go to hell. They're resisting God. They're hateful toward God. They don't want to know about Him. They don't want you talking to Him about Him. And the only thing that's going to change that in people is when they're somewhere in their life, they bump into, they have to work with, they have to hire somebody who's a real Christian, and they act like one. No matter whether they're the servant or the master. There's instructions in the Bible for masters also and how they're to treat their employees as brethren. It's different when you work for somebody who's a real Christian. Yeah, it is. Those kind of experiences change your hardness toward God. It really does. So that's how important this is. See, the people are going to end up in hell because they're resisting God and because of their prejudice against God because of somebody they knew, like that pastor's wife we was talking about a while ago, going to work and cussing and talking filthy, and a pastor's wife. So they asked her, said, what do you even go to church for? And she said, well, you got to repent sometime. Mocking, see? There's all kinds of them people out there. There needs to be some people that ain't like that. That really do walk with God, obey God, let God teach them, guide them, rule over them, and instruct them in these things right here. When we profess to be a Christian, others watch us, and they either bless our God or they blaspheme Him on our account. that the word of God be not blasphemed. When it talked about the young women, the older women teaching the young women to love their husbands, love their children, be keepers in home and all of that, chaste, good to their husbands, all of that, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So people, it's God's honor that's at stake. It's God's name, and it's the souls of men who are at stake by whether or not we do what God says to do in this matter. Y'all need to remember that, you young people. You ever go to work for somebody, you be this kind of servant. You be a Christian first. It'll set you ahead, so far ahead of everything else that's out there. Yes. When Daniel and the Hebrew boys got carried off to Babylon, what was it that got them promoted into ruling the kingdom? Goodness gracious, man. They was all down there slaves, captives. And for long, they're governing the place. Why? Was that excellent spirit again that was found in Daniel? They answered well. They obeyed. They were respectful. They had some sense. They made very good servants. So they were very worthwhile people. If you can trust them in little things, you can trust them in big things. If they're faithful in little, they'll be faithful in much. When we're young, we ought to conduct ourselves in a manner that honors God and proves that His Lordship in our life makes us a better person. And when we're old, the fruits of a life lived for God should be abundant and visible in our behavior and conduct toward others. And if we're a man or a woman, we should conduct ourselves with God's honor in view at all times. Those people who truly love God will be this way, but those who love themselves more will choose what is most pleasing to them instead. And they'll be the bitter, the arguing, the hateful, the rebellious, the hard-headed, the hard to deal with, hard to work with, hard to do business with, hard to work for, hard to have work for you. That's the kind of people they'll be. Just be submitted to God. When you're young, when you're old, and when you're a servant. Yeah. Amen. For God's sake. For the kingdom of God's sake. For the souls of men. Most of these modern people, you know, especially independent Baptists, they think the only thing that you can do is go out there and buttonhole people and ask them if they died today, if they know they could go to heaven, and then lead them into sinner's prayer, and then go back to church and tell how many you led to the Lord and all of that. And what has that produced in the last 45, 50 years? Oh. No, what's important has been left off. And this is important stuff. Women ought to be women. Men ought to be men. And a servant ought to be a servant. And we ought to act like God wants us to act. And right here it is. We've read very short, brief, simple little instructions for each class of people. Now, why don't we just do it? Why don't we just do it? Ain't nothing wrong with being a servant. Be a good one. You're going to be one, so be a good one. Amen. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you. These truths that we looked at is very important. Pray you'd help us to get it. Help us, Lord, to put it to work in our life and live by it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be conscious and aware of our influence and the effect of our words and our looks and our actions to other people around us. Lord, I pray we would not shame you, but Lord, that we'd bring honor to your name with the way we behave ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.